Those of you who don't know me, my name's Roxanne. I'm the principal over here at the school, also teach full-time because we're a very small school. I head up all the children's ministries of the church, and so that's Sunday school, Wednesday night, youth group. I lead the youth group. We do children's church on Wednesday night, children's church on Sunday morning, the nursery. And so my passion and my heart is for the next generation. It's for the generation behind us to not only know who they are, I mean, to know who they are and to walk in that from the time they're in the nursery on, for their testimony to be that I never knew a day that I didn't know who I was in Christ. And so I want to tag on to how TC ended. I wasn't planning on starting like this, but how she ended, I want to tag on. When I was sitting back there, I really heard the Lord say that it's very important that this group is here for such a time as this. And that if the enemy has come in your head and said, I'm too old, I'm too stuck in my ways, I've done this, I've thought this way for too long, I can't change, that tell the enemy, it's what I tell my youth, tell the enemy to get out of your head, that that's a lie. And not only is it a lie for you, but it affects everyone below you. The ripple effect of your intentionality and your heart and your walk with the Lord affects the generations yet to come. I mean, it's like a ripple effect. This generation is an awesome generation, but without people to look people before them, they have no direction. We can't raise them up without people to follow. And I really heard the Lord say to really encourage us to be, to not be so set in our ways that we can't have new revelation and see new things, because it's so important. It not only affects us, which is so important, you know, but it affects the generations yet to come. And so I do all those things for the church. My heart, my life, I've given everything to, is for the younger generation. I mean, I love everything, but I want to see them not walk in the ways of the world. And I love all that stuff, and that's not even my full-time job. And so my full-time job is I'm also a single mother of three boys. They're 7, 6, and 3. For those of you who don't know, I've adopted three kids out of foster care. And so that's my full-time job. And I do all the other stuff on the side, because as you know, that never stops, right? The middle of the night, 4:30 in the morning. As you guys were finishing up and Karen was just giving the word yesterday, I was next door going over spelling words because we didn't do really good on our practice test. So mama never stops, which all of you know. And so I just want you to know what all I do, because I'm talking to you from a place of experience, from a place of going, I understand. If you're like, when I first heard Bishop start talking about this, and I even told him, he's my uncle, so I'm able to, you know, really kind of tell it to him sometimes. And I did. I told him this. I said, I hear what you're saying, but you have all day to just get it with Jesus. And I don't feel like I have 5 minutes sometimes. And I said, I need to know that I can, that this is real, that this is who I am and how I'm called to walk in the midst of all this. There's a lot of times, there's a lot of things I'm juggling. There's a lot of things on my plate. And we just started talking that out. And so I'm here to tell you that don't take it and go, I just don't know that I can, that I can really take this out for a spin, because you just don't understand what all I have to do. We, all of our stuff we have to do looks a little different, but it's not just for those who have all day to spend time with Jesus, right? And so I, unlike TC, love to plan and love to take notes. I like to preach off of notes. When she said she likes them too, but when the Lord was like, I'm not going to give you notes, she was like, yes. When I couldn't get an outline and notes from the Lord, I was like freaking out, because I'm a teacher and teachers like to teach. They like to have every week. I plan out my week the week before. I know what we're doing. I already know what we're doing next Friday today. I'm a planner. I like to teach. I like to know. And so the Lord didn't do it that way this time. And so it's the first time ever. I'm just up really sharing the revelation that the Lord's given me and how I'm applying it to my life. And so while TC was talking, I did write down just a few things. The Lord, he's really been showing me that once you have revelation, once you really, your eyes are open, things are never the same again. I was talking to a friend recently, and it had nothing to do with this. We were just talking about things we would and wouldn't let our kids do, and other people let their kids do it. So it's hard when we don't, and kids start fussing. And she said this to me, and the Lord really just used it to speak a word. She said, you know, Roxanne, I mean, once you have revelation, I can't let them do those things anymore because I know how it affects them. And the Lord started speaking that to me on this. Once your eyes are open, really open to how you're loved and how that love is given out to others, you no longer have an excuse. You can't be the same again. You can't leave here walking in the flesh and not be convicted by it. So revelation, I mean, it's just so awesome, and I wasn't going to do this, but and John and talked about it at Eucharist yesterday. You know, the Gospel of John, it's so awesome. And John refers to himself as what? The disciple whom Jesus loved. Did he love him more than anybody else? No. What's the difference? John got it. He knew that he was known by God. The key that Bishop's been talking about. He knew. He knew he was known by God, and he had revelation of what God knew about him. And so he starts off the gospel unlike anybody else. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And this is what I want to look at for a second. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend that. That's what revelation is. When we have fresh revelation, we have revelation that we're known by God, and then we start having revelation of what he knows about us, there's a light that just starts coming out that we have no control over. And it's nothing that we have to do. It's like Bishop's been saying, he's been saying it. If you've come to these conferences, you've heard it time and time again. I'm in Christ, he's in me, we're in union, we're one. Well, what does that mean? He's in me and I'm in him, and all I have to do is rest in him, but I have to do all the work physically, but not mentally, not spiritually. And what happens is this light shines. And when I step into that and this light shines, all I have to do is be me because the light expels the darkness, right? So I was talking to my youth about this last week. And so, you know, they're younger. So this is deep stuff. And so we got to break it down. I need to break it down for me because I can go deep, but then I got to make it practical. Because if I can't make it practical for me, then it's hard to walk it out. So we cut all the lights out in the youth room, and it was really dark, you know, and I just flicked the lights on. They're like, oh my gosh, turn it off again, and flicked the lights on. And they're like, what are you doing? And I said, well, what happens when I turn the light on? All the darkness goes away. I didn't say anything. All I did was just flick the switch. And so we started talking about that in this, that we don't have to do anything other than abide. All we have to do is enter in. And the light that comes on expels the darkness around us. In Romans 15:13, it says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope or joy by the power of the Holy Spirit. We operate when we're in Christ from a place of overflowing. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace. When I'm in union with him, and I know we've talked about union. Why is it important to talk about union and then to talk about walking in it? Because you can't walk in love if you're first not in union with Christ. I can't. Out of my own, and I'm going to give you lots of examples of me blowing it, out of my own flesh, I can't do this. So it's so important for every moment of every day to stop and check. Is the light coming through? Am I filled with all joy and peace? And if I am, then I will abound or overflow in hope. And you know, the definition of hope is a feeling of expectation and joy. I abound in that. I overflow in that. I love this from Ephesians. No, that's not it. Let's see. At the end of chapter 1, it says, from the fullness of him who fills all and in all. When we walk in union with Jesus, we walk from a place of fullness, who fills all in all in every moment of every day. So what does that mean? So I'm going to tell you how what it didn't mean this morning. We woke up, so in order for my household to work, I'm up at 4:30. I got to get the boys up by 6. We leave the house at 6:50, drop the baby at daycare, open up the school. So there's a lot of moving parts, okay? Nobody really gets themselves ready. Nobody fixes themselves breakfast. There's a lot of me having to do it. And I'm just telling you, I love my life. This is what Jesus has put before me. I love it. And I wasn't going to talk about this, but I will. Sometimes I have a lot of friends who are married and they have kids and they don't do this to me anymore. But some of the ladies sometime would start kind of complaining. Like, oh, I wish my husband would, you know, get up and make breakfast for him. Or I couldn't go to the grocery store because he wasn't home yet or this and that. And I was like, time out. Just for 1 second, time out. You're complaining to me that you have a tag, you're it, that isn't tagging every moment that you want them to tag with. And they're like, earn. So they've kind of quit complaining. So I say that to say, I just feel, you know, sometimes we're always on. Like, we're not called to our life to have a tag, you're it, let someone, you know, like, we've got to be. So how do you be on all the time? Well, we got up this morning and it was like the first morning in a long time that it was a great morning. Everybody woke up in a great mood. Even my three-year-old, who you can ask my mom's back there, rarely actually stays in a good mood all morning. He's crying about something. And this week has been because he ate all his candy at the beginning of the week and his brothers won't share candy. And so every day we've just had a cry fest. Well, this morning, they're all up. Everybody's happy. Everybody got dressed. Everybody ate breakfast. So much time. They're watching TV. I've got worship music playing in the kitchen. I mean, it's just, I'm like, Lord, this is going to be great. This is a great day. And I'm like, you know, trying to get thoughts together, what I'm going to talk about. And so I let them watch TV a little longer because everybody's doing so good. Well, it's time to go. And I open up the school. And I've got a parent who drops off early, so I know what time we have to be here. So, all right, come on, time to go. Well, two of them are up and out the door. Well, my six-year-old, who, I mean, he's just that kid that you love, and at the same time, you just really better walk in the spirit or you'll lose it really quick, you know? And so, I went in there, and his shoes are off, his jacket's off, he's sprawled out on the ground, and it is time to go. And he's not moving. He's not getting up. Everybody else is getting. And in that moment, and we've had such a great moment, I just lost it. I mean, just lost it on it. I snapped on it. James, got to get dressed. And I'm throwing shoes at him, and I'm just fussing, you know? And it didn't last real long, but I'm mama bear and I'm fussing because he's going to make us late and the ripple effect and the fallout from that. And he's okay with it. Like, he doesn't care, you know, like, he doesn't care if we're late and he's enjoying what he's doing. And all of a sudden I'm just, rah! And I lost it on him. And I turned around and I was hoping he was putting on his shoes, but I was still frustrated. Okay. I was not in union with Christ. I had decided to step here. And I left Jesus there, and I did. And so I turned around, but I hadn't recognized that yet. And my head just starts hurting right here. Just immediately my head started hurting. And the Lord said, I'm not frustrated with James at all. And I thought, you know, Lord, you're not frustrated with James at all. And I had to turn around and apologize to him. And James, I'm sorry, I was frustrated with you, you know? And then the Lord said, now lovingly correct him, you know? Because we have to be able to walk in love. And to walk in love means sometimes, and especially as a parent, you have to correct. I can't just say, oh, James, I'm so sorry, blah, 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 and let him do whatever he wants to do. He's six, right? He needs direction. But the Lord said, I'm not frustrated with him. I'm not angry with him, but I was. And so I had to say to him, James, you know, I'm sorry. I was frustrated with you. I yelled at you, but here's what I need you to do. You know you need to stay dressed. And then when Mama says get dressed, you need to. Well, so we go on and we get in the car. And usually I have to apologize to him a lot because he's just mine who just, for some reason, he just gets me upset like that. And so usually when I apologize to him, he'll say, Mom, I don't forgive you. And then so I'll just go, well, that's between you and Jesus. This is what Jesus says. But today he said, you know, Mama, I do forgive you. And I'm sorry I didn't put my shoes on. And that was such a breakthrough for us. Now, that may not happen again for years, you know, but it did encourage me just a little bit of walking this thing out, of revelation. See, I could not keep going. And the Lord quickened, he quickens everybody's heart a little different way. He quickened my heart, my head started hurting. And I knew immediately, it wasn't like a Father Craig headache or anything, it was just right here. And I knew that quickened my heart. Oh, man. I just blew it in that moment. But what the Lord was saying is you blew it in that moment, so let's make it perfect, you know? Let's perfect the moment. And so we can't be a people. We can't be leaders. We can't let our light shine if we're not willing to stop when we blow it and humble ourselves and do what we need to do and then correct it in love, you know? And sometimes I just have to say I'm sorry and it was my fault and it wasn't their fault at all. I had, you know, teaching, people say all the time, oh, I wouldn't teach, there's no way I'd teach. I'm just going to tell you right now, teaching kids is a lot of fun. Dealing with their parents all the time is not necessarily as much fun. When I was growing up, I was a good kid. My mom's back there. She'll tell you. I just didn't get in trouble. I didn't like getting in trouble, but my sister was not the same way. She pushed the limit. She pushed the buttons, and she would come and, you know, complain, and there were a few times I did. My parents never, not one time of me growing up, ever went to the school and complained on our behalf. You know, they told us, well, I'm sorry, do what the teacher said. Well, we just don't live in that world anymore. As a teacher, I've been teaching 23 years now. It's just changed so much. And so teaching kids, it's challenging. I'm not going to lie to you. It's very challenging. But dealing with their parents is a lot more difficult because so many parents these days do not believe their kids do anything wrong. So I had this situation earlier in the year, and it's been building. This child, he cannot stay out of trouble. She's in trouble, in trouble, in trouble. So I've talked to the parents. Finally, and I've talked to them, and I was really proud of myself because I've really dealt with this child, what I felt like, really in love. I was really patient with him. I've had to correct him, but, you know, I did it talking to him like this and talking to him about how Jesus sees him and really just trying to pull that out because that's ultimately my heart is I want to teach these children and raise them up, but by pulling Jesus into them and out of them and them seeing who they are because that's ultimately, that should be our whole purpose. Anyway, I don't even think anything happened that day, but the parent called me after I'd gotten home. And after I'd gotten home, we'd already done homework. I'd then become mama, and I did homework with my, I have two first graders, 7-year-old and 6-year-old, and it was a long homework day. But they just weren't feeling it. I wasn't feeling it. I mean, it just took a long time to do it. And so I was already, you know, a little tired from that. So this parent calls, and I immediately did not thank the Lord. I looked at it, and I went, oh, my gosh, I don't even want to answer the phone, but I did. And so that's where I start off. You know, I didn't I knew probably where the conversation was going, but I started out with my heart not in line with the heart of Jesus, you know? So we have to recognize how we're blowing it, where we're blowing it, because if we can recognize that, then we're able to walk in fullness of joy and abound in those places, right? So I look at the phone and I'm already frustrated. Well, this parent starts telling me, I mean, I know my kid isn't perfect, but, and then tells me all the things that they know they didn't do that I've seen with my own eyes, and I'm trying to explain to them, and then I just snapped. And I said, I wasn't ugly to him at all, but I was not walking in Jesus either. I just was snapped, and I said, this is how it is. Here it is. You can either do it or the highway. And I just, y'all, my blood pressure has been great. It used to be all over the place. And I check a lot. It was so low that it was too low at one point in time. Immediately, I felt it. I mean, I've gotten to where the Lord's quickening my heart by physical things more and more. I could feel my blood pressure. I mean, it was just, I knew, but I kept on going. And because I was not walking, and I just was keeping going. I was fussing at the kids. They were probably getting over to the neighbor's house because mama was just, you know how you can be sometimes when you start down that path and it starts with a snowball and it gets bigger and bigger. And finally, I was like, Lord, what is going on? I sat down and I've got a blood pressure thing at home, took my blood pressure. It was in the heart attack level. Why? Because I made a choice from the beginning not to be in union with Christ. I made a choice from the beginning not to operate from a place of overflow. I made a choice not to walk in love. I mean, I didn't like say all those things, but I also didn't do them. And so we have to quit giving ourselves excuses of, well, I didn't mean not to do that. You know, the kids say it all the time. Well, I didn't mean to hit them, or I didn't mean to say that. I didn't mean to hurt your feelings when I said, I don't like you. Well, you might not have intended it to hurt, but you did act that way. And even as adults, we've got to go, that's not just childish behavior. Like, as adults, we have to go, I might not have said this is what I'm setting out to do, but that's what I put my heart on, you know? And so I just started, Lord just started speaking to me. I started repenting just to Him and changed my attitude, and things got better. And I took my blood pressure that night and it was back to normal. And it just really just blew me away too, how stepping out, even for a moment, how it just physically affected my body, you know? In Ephesians, it talks about, I love this, chapter 2, verse 6. And it says, and we're raised up with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When we're in union with Christ, and we are walking in love, speaking in love, acting in love, all those things that Bishop has been talking about, that is when we're seated in heavenly places. You know, I talk to my youth about this a lot. When it says we're seated in heavenly places, the last time I spoke, I think I said this, it's like either we can live in the castle and enjoy everything the castle has for us, or we can go outside and live in the pig pen and look at the castle. And in that moment, I made a choice to live in the pig pen. And I could see in the distance the castle, you know, but my choices, and I was staying in the pig pen, and the pig pen's no fun. You know, we've been talking about our sin is no fun. It was no fun. The conversation was not fun. My blood pressure going through the roof was not fun. Fussing at the kids was not fun. There was nothing fun about that moment, you know? And so the Lord's just really used that to go, Roxanne, stop. And before you have to do hard things, one, check. Make sure we're doing it together. And two, thank me for it. You know, and so I've had to have some conversations with people that are not a lot of, you know, fun. I do not like confronting people at all. If I have to, I'll do it. But if I can figure out how to do it another way, that's what I would prefer to do. I don't like to confront. And so I was having to do this other situation. I just felt like the Lord said, put it off. And a few other people confirmed, and it just came back up. And so I knew I was going to have to confront it. This person called. And this time, though, I said, all right, Lord, here we go. We are going to talk to this parent. And let me tell you, that conversation lasted for an hour, and the fruit that came out of that was amazing. It was amazing. And it could have gone the other way, but the difference was that I stopped and took a breath. You know, sometimes you have to slow down and go, man, I'm going to align myself here. And I don't know about you guys, but I have to say it to myself until it becomes natural. You know, I was an athlete growing up and played all kinds of sports, but basketball was my favorite. And I was a post player, and so I'd get fouled a lot. So I needed to be a good free throw shooter, and I wanted to be really good. And I would shoot free throws all day long. I mean, my dad would catch them, throw them back 100 at a time, because I wanted to be the best. And if you were going to foul me, then that was going to be a problem for you, because I was hitting those 2 points, you know. And it's that same type attitude that we have to take with our every day, every moment walk. And so I have to stop and tell myself, no, thank you, Jesus. This is not the situation in the flesh that I would choose to walk in, but Lord, this is where you sent me. And that in John, where it talks about in him was life, and life was the light of men. When we're in union with him, that light comes forth. And that light in the darkness shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In the very next sentence, and there came a man sent from God. Before we're sent, we've got to place ourselves in union with him, you know, and then we're sent. You know, I'm sent a lot of places to do a lot of things during the day, but it's not me. And to go in with an attitude of, Jesus, we're owned. And why is it we're own? Because he's in me and I'm in him, and my mouth has got to open, but I need his words to come out, you know? I mean, that's where it ends up being. You know, and I got tickled. We were talking the other day, and Bishop said, you know, I think I'm going to talk out of 1 Corinthians. And I was like, I was going to talk out of that. But we can't talk what we're talking about without saying, you know, what love is. How do you walk in love every day? I'm just going to remind us, he's taught it in detail, but love is patient, it's kind. Oh, this is a big one for me. It's not jealous. It doesn't brag. It's not arrogant. It does not act unbecomingly, which is what I did unconsciously, but is what I did on the phone with that parent, you know. It doesn't seek its own. It's not provoked. It doesn't take into account a wrong suffered. Doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness, but it bears all things, y'all. And that, so it bears all things. I actually have the capacity, because we're in Christ, to bear it all. There's nothing that he sent us to that we with him cannot handle. And it's important to remind yourself of that, or else you'll go ahead and say, I can't do this, before you ever get started. If you're sent, you're sent. He sent you to bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. So how does that show up in my life? So how do I practically know that? Because I'm a practical person. How do I know that I'm doing this? You know, other than Lily going, you know, Roxanne, I've really noticed that you're just really kind lately. You know, that would be really awesome for someone to tell you all the time. I see this and I see that and I see that, but it doesn't happen. We have life, right? So I've got to be able to evaluate myself and stop. And so what does it look like? How do we know? Because our life looks like the fruit of the Spirit. When we're in union with him, and we're walking in love, and we have the mind of Christ, and we're going after everything that we do all day long. I mean, like I said, my day starts at 4:30. It ends about 8:30 at night, because I'm ready to go to bed. But during that time, there's a lot of things that happen, you know? There's a lot of places I'm sent. There's a lot of people that I encounter. And at the end of the day, how do I know? How do I know where I blew it, not this and that? Because the fruit of the Spirit showed up in those places. Fruit comes out of it. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If I don't look like that, then I am not walking in the revelation that the Lord's given me. Does that make sense? I hope it does. I looked up when TC was talking too. She was saying, you know, about being compelled by love. And everything Jesus did, he was compelled by love for others, right? There were times where it said, you know, he went to the other side to be alone and the multitude showed up. You know, think about us. When we go, we've had enough and we need some me time, and we go to be alone and someone calls you or shows up, what is our first response? 90% of the time is not, "Oh, come on in. I'm so excited you are here. I've been waiting to see you." No, I mean, you know, we have to work to be those kind of people. But when Jesus went to the other side to be by himself and the multitude showed up, what did he do? It says he prayed for every single person and everyone was healed. He went to be alone and the multitude showed up. And why? He was compelled by love. His love for them compelled him and moved his heart and into a place where he couldn't help himself. He had to pray for him. He had to minister to him. And so the Lord started speaking that to me a couple of years ago. And so I don't get it most of the time, but my heart is, Jesus, compel my heart by love for every moment of every day. And when I'm ready to be by myself and Donna shows up, that I don't go, "Oh," and answer the door, that I go, "Man, that's the most important thing right now. That's the most important thing. Jesus has placed us in this moment because it's the most important thing that I'm going to do." And then what do? You move in love. And then what happens with that? Well, the fruit of the Spirit comes out, right? When we don't, then it's all those other things of yuckiness. But there's a book by Heidi Baker. I don't know if you guys know. Hopefully you know who Heidi Baker is. She and her husband are missionaries in Mozambique, giving their life to it. If you don't know, look, I mean, amazing, amazing what they've done over their life. But she wrote this book, Compelled by Love. And I've read it several times. Every copy I have, I've given it away to a friend. But she wrote this. I want to read to you. It's one of her quotes. She says, "God wants your ministry to flow from the realization that you are a beloved child of God. In that place, you don't have to worry too much about how people see you. You don't have to worry too much about whether they're nice or they're mean. You don't even have to worry about whether they love you or they hate you. You don't have to worry because you're simply going to love them and love him." I mean, how great is that, you know? To walk in that revelation, it doesn't matter who's in front of us. It doesn't matter what their attitude is. You know, I'm called to love them. So let's talk practically on that. What if you're going, "All right, I hear you, Roxanne, but my flesh, I mean, I've taken the Enneagram test, you know, and I'm like I don't know what the number is, 5, and I mean, I'm just grump, and that's just who I'm, melancholy, and you know, this is what it says about me, and this is what it says about me." Y'all, the world says those things about us. Jesus didn't invent the Enneagram, you know, like those things we got to quit letting that define us, right? And so that's what our flesh is. That helps us recognize our flesh, but it's not who we are. We cannot let our personality dictate how we treat others. It can no longer be our excuse. And think about the ripple effect it'll have on everyone around us. Think about the ripple effect it'll have on your family, you know, on the generations to come. Like I said, I want to see this young generation on fire. But what if they have the generations before them that are so on fire, and the ripple effect comes that they've got grandparents and parents at home going, your personality doesn't matter. Your flesh cries out for me time. Your flesh is angry. Your flesh gets frustrated, but that's not Jesus. So recognize what your personality is and then align it to what Jesus says. Your personality is not what Jesus says about you. You know, but the world says that's who we are. They've even put us by these numbers, right? And you're number this and wing that and this and that. And so then the world says that's okay. You're okay. You fall in that number. You fall in that classification. But it's like TC said, I don't want to be looked at as from this world. I'm from another place. I want to be looked at as from seated in heavenly places, you know, not wallowing in the pig pen with everybody else. I want them to see, oh, there's a light. Man, this, it expels the darkness. And I want them to be compelled to move, and then we move together. That's how I see this generation. You know, they need light in the darkness, you know. They don't need people hammering. They just need examples, and they need truth, and they need light. And the light expels the darkness. But we can't let our personality dictate how we walk this out. It can't be our excuse. If you're doing something and you say, well, that's just who I am and how I've always done it, let the Lord quicken your heart. That's your flesh, but he's given you a new way. He's renewed our mind. We have a new way. And so what do you do? So what do you do in that moment? Because I'm a practical. I mean, like, what do I do? So I'll tell you this, not too long ago, things had really been going good. I've really like, okay, I've taken this and I was even kind of said to the Lord, Lord, you know, I hadn't really been upset in a while, and I'm just really proud of myself. That's a wrong thing to say. I was just internally kind of saying this. And this situation came up with one of my children. And let me tell you what. You know, the mamas out there, you don't want to see your child hurt by anyone else or anything. And man, it struck a chord. And I didn't recognize it. I just let it... It let it knock me out of a good place. And it just was like my world started spinning. And, you know, and I was like, I just don't want people to see my child like this or, you know, his stuff and all this stuff. And I was worried. I was consumed with what other people think or what they might think and all this stuff. And I was talking it out with a few people. And it's about the third time I'd gone to Bishop. Like I said, you know, he's my uncle. He's also Babu to my boys and really taken a place for that. He's really stepped in since my dad passed away as a Babu or granddad in their life. So we have these conversations a lot. This is about the third time in a week I've gone to talk to him about the same thing. And he was listening to me, but he said, Roxanne, what is bothering you about this? Like, this is going to be okay, but what is bothering you? And I thought, I'm embarrassed. That was it. I'm embarrassed, you know. It wasn't a big thing, but as a mama, I was, and I just didn't want some things to be uncovered for him. And he looked at me and he said, Jesus isn't embarrassed. And I said, you're right, but I don't know how to get there. I was just real honest with him. You're right, but my heart feels this way. And he just kept saying, Jesus isn't embarrassed, and you don't have to be either. So I walked away from there, and I went, okay, Lord, you're not embarrassed, you're not frustrated, you're not bitter, so I don't have to be either. And I had to tell myself that 1,000 times, over and over and over and over and over and over again until my heart and my head caught up with each other. You know, sometimes we can't just go, okay, Jesus isn't frustrated, so I'm not frustrated either, but then we act in frustration because we never got to the place. We can't just be people of, I know something, but don't act in something. And so we need the how-to. How do you do it? Well, you keep saying it, and you keep believing it, and you keep saying it, and you keep believing it until it just becomes who you are. And when I finally got it, it all left. I never had the feeling again, you know? And it really wasn't a big deal, but to me it was a big deal, you know? And so just because it's not a big deal to you, it may be a big deal to them. And that's another place where we, in love, he could have just really like, I'm sick and tired of hearing you talk about this. Drop it. That's enough. You know, we do that to people, right? We get sick and tired of hearing they're sick and tired, and so we just put an end to it. Well, he didn't. He spoke truth to me. I needed to hear that truth. But he spoke it in love, so it hit my heart, and then I had to walk it out over and over and over and over again till it became reality, and then it was like, it was never a thing again, you know? And so it was so cool just for me to go, you know, I can do this. Like, I don't have to have 8 hours a day to spend alone with Jesus. Sometimes I just have 10 minutes in the morning, you know? But it's not something that you can only get if you can stay saturated in his presence with the worship music playing nonstop. No, I can stay saturated in his presence teaching, dealing with kids, you know, brushing my child's teeth, taking them to the fair, doing all the stuff we have to do. And so it's just become this new revelation that it isn't something to work at. It's just something we do. It's got to become so second nature to us that we just become people who we're not going to be anything but people of love. And the fruit of the Spirit is what's going to come out of us. And when we're not, man, the Lord's just going to quicken our hearts so much. And we're going to humble ourselves. And we're just going to pick ourselves back up and start doing it again, you know? And so it just becomes second nature. I told TC this a couple of weeks ago. I forgot about it. But 3 years ago, our family just went through this horrible time. My dad went into the hospital with COVID. Most of you know, 2 weeks later, passed away. The day of his funeral was the day the doctors came in and told Olivia she had terminal cancer, was sending her home, knowing she was going to be with Jesus. 2 weeks later, she went to be with Jesus. So over this 6 week period, our family really went through the ringer, to say, you know. I mean, it was the most difficult time I'd ever walked in. And I remember just, you know, standing there and, you know, you go through all the stuff, and I'm not gonna get into all that, but Luke and I are having conversations and just like, what is going on? And we're in the place of, why is this happening and this and that? And during that whole time, Woody, who's Luke's older brother, it's my cousin, had this sweatshirt. And he wore it, I promise you, I swear he wore it every day. You can ask TC. And it said, ain't nothing gonna break my stride. Ain't nothing gonna break my stride. And finally, one day, it was after Dad had passed away, it was a few days before Olivia did, Luke said, and he was a little frustrated, Woody, why are you wearing that sweatshirt? You know, because we felt like our stride had been broken. And it had been broken, you know? And Woody said, I'm not going to let the enemy win. And it really struck. And the Lord said, we're not going to let the enemy win. Yes, we're grieving, and there's real grief, and there's real things to walk through, and it was really hard, and it still is, and it's really difficult. But they are in heaven. We know we didn't lose them. We know exactly where they are, right? And and the Lord just started speaking. We're not going to let the enemy win. In this place of walking this out, we have to have that same concept. Ain't nothing going to break my stride. And when he tries to, no, you're not going to win. I blow it, I humble myself, and I keep on going. You know, as we're walking out this, I just wrote down while TC was talking some of the big things that we let ourselves excuse for, like an excuse to act this way. Just to kind of remind us of, you know, frustration can never be our excuse to not act out of love. Anger, justification. Have you ever felt like, I mean, like, I was felt justified to fuss at James today because he was totally disobedient. And so that's why I acted the way I did. That's why I went off the handle on him, because I felt justified to do so. But we are not, we cannot walk in the flesh and call it justification. That's no, we have new revelation of that. That can no longer be our excuse, you know? Grumpiness, you know? We can't just say, I'm in a bad mood today. Everybody stay away from me. No, Jesus was never in a bad mood. So that cannot be our excuse. But what do you do when you wake up and you're in a bad mood? Because that's reality, right? We're going to have some bad days. So you wake up and you're in a bad mood and you're like, well, you got to be saturated in His presence, you know? You got to go, come Holy Spirit, Jesus, my flesh is in a bad mood. So I'm going to place myself in union with You and trust that Your light's going to outshine my bad mood, and I'm going to make conscious decisions to open my mouth only in love. There's days where I just have to keep my mouth shut. There's lots of times where I should and I don't and I blow it, you know? I'm just telling y'all, I mean, if my kids are in here, they'd be going, oh yeah, we can tell you 100 examples of how Mom blew it this week. Because you do. You're going to blow it. We can't beat ourselves up or other people around us. And I think it's very important as we're walking this out that we don't hold people up on a higher standard than Jesus holds us, right? Because sometimes we're so quick to be, Bishop called it last night, dirt inspectors. You know, we got to give them grace. We got to cover them in love. And we can't let someone else's bad mood or their frustration for us be our reason to act back out, right? What do you do if you just have that person that, we're walking in this and we're speaking love and they're just being nasty and they're being ugly. We're not justified to fix that for them. The only thing Jesus has called us to do is to love them more. And what happens between them and Jesus is between them and Jesus. We can't be a people who are justified to fix everybody else or uses other people's stuff as justification to walk in it ourselves. You know, we got to be a people who go, no, that sandpaper person, you know, that just rubs you the wrong way, I'm just going to love them more. Well, what if they never change? It's not my problem. I'm called to love them, you know? And y'all, I hope this makes sense. I hope it helps. And I'm not talking to you from a place of truly getting it. I'm asking the Lord every day for fresh revelation, for deeper understanding. And I feel like we'll do that to the day we go see Him. You know, we're never going to stop. And so we got to give ourselves a break, but at the same time, don't give yourself a break to stop and to say, this is as far as I'm going. This is good. I'm going to stop here. 70% of the time, I'm walking in love. No, the goal is every moment of every day, and we're not going to stop pushing until, you know? So let me just pray for us, Lord. I just pray, Father, that everything that's been spoken throughout this conference, Father, just goes deep down inside of us. Lord, and then we leave from here people with fresh revelation that will never, ever, ever be the same again. Lord, so quicken our hearts to align ourselves with You, Father, that every other thing just won't even begin to fill that need, Lord. We just pray these things in Your name. Amen. Amen.